how are we going to pitch Blue Apron if we don't get on sponsoring our show, if we don't get every little second of us just quoting and singing and coming up with weird voices from The Office?
What would Dwight's reaction to Blue Apron be? Hear about it. Please.
Don't tell me about how coddled the modern home chef is.
Same thing for dinner every night. Boiled beets.
Pony meat.
Boiled beet stew and pony meat.
Mm-hmm. Boiled beets and pony meat. That's a Dwight R&B album right there.
It's a very red plate.
Hot beets.
Can't wait to find out what this hog mama is.
That would be the hit single, Hog Mama, on Dwight's
hog
album.
Hog Mama! Taste it and see.
Hot beats and
internal
pony
temperature
meat
of 103. Out of paper, out of stock. There's friendly faces around the block. Break loose from the chains that are causing you pain. Call Michael and Stanley, Jim and Dwight Creed. Call Andy and Kelly for your business paper needs. Or Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people.
Hello and welcome to the Michael Scott Podcast Company, a show for fans of The Office by fans of The Office. I'm your host and your wife who does believe in ghosts, Sean Roney.
And I'm Edwin James, and I'm the popular social networking site known as Bookface.
And with us, as always, our producer in the warehouse, Mr. Alex Ward.
Uh-oh. Looks like we're under a jank attack.
Yes, Andrew. And you on this day of fantasy are a laborer.
We were looking for kitten.
Every week we get together and talk about our favorite show, NBC's The Office. This week, Halloween.
Oh,
I love it.
Halloween is tomorrow. If you're listening to this, the day it comes out,
right?
Which will be Wednesday.
That's right,
the 30th.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
October.
We love the Halloween episode so much. So I'm really excited to dive into the costumes and.
Mm-hmm. Are you guys like me? Do you? I mean, obviously, prepping for the show is different, but every Halloween, I would usually just watch all the Halloween episodes together. It's a great way to do on Halloween day.
Yeah, to ring in the new year.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, celebrate the season.
Yeah.
I love these Halloween episodes. I love all the holiday episodes that they have on The Office. It's just a fun kind of recurring thing that comes back every few seasons or, you know, every now and then. And it's fun to see the characters express themselves
with
different costumes and stuff. It's fun to see The Office kind of change up in terms of theme. And I don't know, the holiday episodes are always like a catalyst for some sort of big plot event happening.
Right.
So
well,
it's fun to see that.
Early Halloween episodes, I mean, it just keeps ramping up from there.
Yeah.
The costumes get wilder. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of fun. So, of course, there are four full Halloween episodes.
Mm-hmm.
In The Office, Season 2, Episode 5, Halloween.
Why did you put it off until Halloween? Because it's very scary stuff.
That, of course, is the episode where Michael has to fire an employee. Creed talks him into firing Devin.
Undo it!
Undo it. No, you'll be the guy who saved me.
We'll fight this just like the old days. What old days?
Quick shout out to Dina, who left us a voicemail, just basically calling out that that is a Creed-centric episode. She's been listening to our Creed episode, and I think I said there were no Creed-centric episodes except that one.
Mm.
I'm pretty sure I said that, because that's the only one he's really in the plot. But anyway, just a quick shout out to Dina.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for calling in. Season 7, Episode 6, Costume Contest.
This is an amazing prize. I mean, I don't even want to give Pam a compliment, because she's so, but she did a good job. I really want that coupon book.
That, of course, is the episode where the whole office is in a costume contest Pam has organized. There's even some costume changes in that episode.
A $15,000 prize.
Right.
Scranton Wilkes-Barre coupon book.
What's Oscar's stats that he gives? You realize you'd have to
spend over $200,000
to get those savings.
Stuff you don't need.
Shove it, Oscar, is what Angela says.
Season 8, Episode 5, Spooked.
I just got a text from Broccoli Rob. Boo, scared me.
Then I got this text from Robert California. Looking forward to Halloween party. Expectations are high. Scared the shit out of me.
Sorry for the profanity, Logan. Yeah.
That, of course, the episode where Robert California brings his son into the office. We got a lot of...
Bert.
Bertie Bert. Boy.
Yeah. More evidence of Robert California's obsession with Sesame Street.
I mean, it's his own name.
Yeah. Robert. Oh, I guess you're right. Yeah, yeah. Sure.
Yeah. Ours is a cultural ghetto, wouldn't
watch
you agree?
The street, Jim? Yeah.
God, that's just... That's some great Robert California in that episode. Well, we'll get to it. Anyway, yeah. As you were, Sean.
Season 9, episode 5. Here comes trouble.
I just started yapping about the old days, and I guess the wine coolers were flowing, and, you know, somehow things just got hinky.
And that, of course, is the episode where guest starring Stephen Colbert, Here Comes Trouble, actually comes to the office. Andy's infamous
acapella group
from Cornell. Thank you.
I got you, buddy.
Okay. So those are full Halloween episodes, but there are two episodes that start with Halloween cold opens. Season 5, episode 6, employee transfer. And that's when Pam is at art school and working at corporate.
She's Charlie Chaplin.
And she dresses as Charlie Chaplin and no one else dresses up. And she's like, I can't take off my hat because then I'm Hitler.
She uses grease paint for her mustache.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the other episode that has a Halloween cold open, season 6, episode 8, Koi Pond. Some of you may not realize that there is a Halloween cold open because on Netflix, they have removed that cold open from the episode.
Scrubbed.
Yeah, I think we wanted this to kind of be our starting point, to kind of take a different... We could easily recap what happens in each of these episodes, and Sean kind of just did.
Yeah.
But I think we wanted to start here because it's kind of an interesting thought to think that Netflix can kind of influence the way that we see the show, right?
Mm-hmm. So the opening to Koi Pond is employees in the office have created a haunted house in the warehouse, and it's not a very good one. Daryl is pushing a bunch of kids around on a pallet jack. It's all these kind of lackluster vignettes of Kevin pulling intestines out of Aaron and
Daryl's trying to catch who, like, say what everyone's costume
he's
is.
Getting every costume
right.
Wrong.
He's getting all of them wrong. He's like, I asked for a list.
That's
right.
Where the book face comes from.
Right.
Jim writes book on his face.
Right. And then Michael, though, making a hint that it's going to be really scary. He's going to do something really crazy. And so
and Michael is the dick in the box guy.
Yes.
So SNL. Inappropriate.
Yeah. And he's like, kids, I will see you later.
Yeah, for a Halloween, for a haunted house for children. And it ends with like a light turning on and a chair falling down. And Michael is suspended from the ceiling with a noose around his neck and kicking and he dies. He hangs himself. And then he has a weird comment at the end about, like, suicide is not the answer. It's the easy way out or something.
He
like
that. He says that to
totally
the children.
Wrong thing to say, too. So
that was a new batch of Scott's Tots.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. So this aired on NBC when they aired this episode. So technically, this is not a deleted scene.
Right.
But the response was very bad. I think a lot of people were like, this is a very tasteless.
Michael comes out and says, like, how come Christmas is the only holiday that can have a message? He has it in a little talking head.
He is...
Great point.
Delusional.
Great Scott.
When Netflix put it on, they cut it from the episode. However, you can still watch it because on the Office official YouTube channel, they have posted it.
Yeah, they included there's like a Halloween supercut video of different scenes, and they included that. Yeah,
right, right. So for whatever reason, it's too outrageous to put in the episode, but they still are sharing it on YouTube.
I just found this super interesting as we were going back and preparing for this episode to think about all the different Halloween episodes and the way they kind of featured the holiday. And I remember like going back to Koi Pond and like I think maybe you had sent over a list, Sean, and I was going through and like I didn't see anything in Koi Pond when I rewatched it, and then you know, digging into it, I was like, I totally remember Jim is Bookface. I was like, I remember that airing. I don't remember that as a deleted scene, you know, or Michael, the whole, I remember that whole thing, but like, you don't see it on Netflix. And it's just interesting the way that, you know, I watch the show on Netflix 99% of the time when I watch it. Mm-hmm. Every now and then, deleted scenes pop up on YouTube or Facebook or some other social media thing. Mm-hmm. But Netflix, you know, that's, I watch it on my phone, I watch it on my computer, whatever it is. And it's interesting to think that the way that they cut and recut the show can really change the way that you perceive the show, right?
You know what would be a great Halloween treat, I'm wondering, is if once The Office does go to NBC's old platform, will they include all the deleted scenes as an optional?
That would be really nice. That would be really nice. Just right there. That would be pretty cool.
I mean, it'll probably be behind a paywall.
Yeah, for sure.
Trick or treat, yeah.
And I will pay.
Mm-hmm. What do you think? I mean, is it that he hangs himself, or is it what he says after he hangs himself?
Probably
I feel like that's
a combination of both.
Well, sure, yeah.
On one hand, this ties back to the Dundies.
I think it's the dick in a box outfit.
Right, yeah. And to add on to all of that.
Like he's
yeah.
hanging there in the boxes right there. It's ridiculous.
But it's kind of a callback to, and I hate to be so morbid with this, but in the Dundies, season 2, episode 1, he talks about, like, you know, people come home with the Dundies, and the neighbor is like, hey, I never see anything like this. You know, I've never recognized the work. A couple days later, we notice a weird smell coming from the neighbor's house. Our neighbor's hanged himself due to lack of recognition, right?
That's where he got the idea, probably, right there.
Yeah. Yeah. There's also when they're reading through the suggestion box, and he reads the one that's like, we need to have more...
Better outreach.
For people with depression. And Phyllis...
Tom?
And to just bring it back, this is the most Michael Scott thing that could have happened is, you know, that critics and the people who are actually viewing this decided it's way too far over the line.
Right.
It's not tasteful at all, and it needs to be pulled.
And maybe the other part, too, is that it kind of just ends right after that.
Yeah.
You don't see the fallout of everyone's reaction and corporate reprimanding Michael and all these other things that we normally do see when he makes when he does something stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Of all, there's a lot of scenes you should cut that are too offensive from Michael Scott, but this one just happened to be very disposable because it doesn't have to do with the episode and you know, it worked, but I'm still glad you can watch it on YouTube because just seeing everyone in costumes fun.
Right.
Like all the, just the different iterations that people take and like, I don't know.
Oh, there are some fantastic costumes in this very fast cold open.
Mm-hmm.
But we can get into that in a bit.
No, later.
One other thing I kind of noticed going through these Halloween episodes is how it kind of traces Jim and Pam where they are. Granted, you're just taking kind of a random cross section of different seasons, but in season 2, we see Jim and Pam working together to kind of prank Dwight, right? Mm-hmm. We see their Air 5, which is kind of a famous Jim and Pam moment.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of a gif you see pretty often. Mm-hmm. And then at the end, you know, after they've kind of come up with this opportunity for Dwight to take another job, Pam says to Jim, you know, you should take that job in Maryland. Yep. You know, you're the one who deserves this kind of promotion. And Jim is kind of conflicted by it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that's like, you know, Jim and Pam are their energy is so different. From in costume contest in season 7, where we have Danny Cordray, right? And they spend the whole time cornering Danny to try to figure out why he didn't
Timothy
ask
Oliphant.
Pam on another date, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's that moment where a really unique moment between Danny Cordray and Todd Packer in the kitchen. Where Todd Packer is sitting with the bag of... And it says trouser mouse. He's crossed out fingers.
It's
right?
That gimmick where, like, if you were a kid and you went to a Halloween party, you stick your hand into things... And, it'd be like brains, and there'd be Jello in there, and you
peeled
can't see.
Grapes as eyeballs.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So then there's all these things lined up on the counter, and then at the end, he's holding a bag over his crotch.
He's crossed out fingers and written trouser mouse.
Trouser mouse.
And Danny says, "I don't think this is going to work out the way you think." And Todd Packer goes, "I don't think you get it, right?" And then Jim
he's
comes
dressed
in.
As a pregnant nun.
The two traveling salesmen, Danny and Todd. But Jim comes in, and he continues to hammer Danny on why he didn't ask Pam out again.
Mm-hmm.
And Danny is trying, I mean, to kind of gracefully pivot and kind of be like, you know, maybe her fours looked like something else or whatever he
says.
Yeah,
yeah, he messed up the number.
And Packer is like, Halpert, you looking for someone to bang your wife?
It's so gross. Because, like, Packer has no context. Yeah. He's just sitting there watching this happen.
I do kind of like
why didn't you call her back?
usually commands the room in a certain way where whenever he walks in, it's all about him. But he's very much just in the background in this episode, and I really enjoy that.
I think it's his only line in the episode.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
No, because he also tells the joke in the conference room.
Oh,
The witch and the broomstick.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh.
Right.
Which is also, you know.
Like, why do vampires water ski in Lake Erie? Wait. Yeah,
wait. That episode, as far as their relationship, it feels really weird, like what they're doing. Like, to Daniel Cordray's credit, he does a very... It's very diplomatic in trying to just like give them a good reason, but they keep like pulling on it until it gets to the, I thought she was a dork.
Right.
You know, and
I love Pam's reaction to it.
Yeah. She's she's so good. Like, I get it. Thank you. It's over.
She's like,
but she's,
adds, you know, starts acting super
she's
weird.
She's definitely thinking about that. Yeah.
Well, excuse me.
Yeah.
Right.
Excuse me.
But just to continue with Jim and Pam, right?
Yeah.
There's that moment where Jim says to the camera, he's like, I just don't get it. How do you not call a dork like that back? Right. Mm-hmm. It ends with kind of that sweet flip on Jim and Pam.
He puts the costume on.
Fine. Oh, yeah, that's right. Not a costume guy.
Okay. Spinach in a can.
It's one of the most endearing. And,
oh,
and they're little,
my hero.
Yeah. She does the thing. And
well, yeah, what is...
Sweet Pea, CC is Sweet Pea.
But if you move on to Spooked in season 8, they have the whole thing where Pam talks about seeing the man in black, mm-hmm. and Jim is like, you can't seriously believe in ghosts, right? He's trying to chase her down on that. And it kind of plays out in the full view of everyone, right? Jim like prank calls her and mm-hmm. Pam is like, I'll draw you a picture. And she draws a middle finger, shows it to Jim. Right. I think at one point Meredith is like, get a divorce. Right?
Yeah.
But in season 8, it ends with that kind of, you know, it's just Jim and Pam and they're having a kind of a conflict, but it's still kind of a fun conflict.
Right.
And then you go to season 9, the Here Comes Treble episode where Jim decides to invest $10,000, investment amount. And Pam is kind of Pam starts out by saying, you know, that startup company that Jim joined but didn't tell me about, right? Like, that's why Jim is not in costume.
Mm-hmm.
And then Pam says something to the effect of, unless Jim has another secret costume that he didn't tell me about.
Right.
And Jim says, you're getting a lot of mileage out of this. And Pam says, well, you better get used to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end, you know, Pam is using Monster Mash as a metaphor to really go at Jim for investing this whole... Jim? You have to sing Monster Mash or whatever it is. So it just illustrates different levels of tension, right?
Yeah.
Season 2, there's kind of a romantic tension, kind of a more playful tension.
Yep.
Season 7 is them working together almost, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And season 8, there's a less serious sort of conflict around ghosts. And then season 9 is kind of the marital drama that we see play out over the course of that season.
But, oof.
Yeah.
And well said, Edwin.
And all of those.
Thanks, buddy.
And all of those are, most of those are B storylines. Like, those are none of the A ones, but you're right. It's sort of always in the back. It's a backdrop to all these episodes too.
Mm-hmm.
And meanwhile, all in the other episodes, all the main storylines are still like pretty major. None of them are really throwaway plots in terms of their people discovering, either who they are with Andy later in the show or Michael, really just having to struggle with a choice, mm-hmm. either firing somebody or, you know, Daryl getting credit, you know, for his idea to have drivers in the costume contest. So it's all these sort of people butting heads and trying to sort of figure out how to deal with a tough situation. Mm. And then all of it's happening in a silly outfit. So it just like, mm-hmm. they really use that trope well of having serious moments, you know, while Michael has a second head on his mm-hmm. shoulder. And so they, I mean, that happens in season 2, and then they just sort of keep that joke going every time Halloween happens.
Right. Even like with Andy, with his, never mind. I'm going to take it back.
Okay.
I was going to say like Andy when he has his hard ass hat on, but that's Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Well, he does have a hard hat on.
He does have a hard hat on. Yes.
I love one of my now that we're talking about Andy, one of my favorite Andy quotes in the whole thing is in the season 5 employee transfer cold open where Andy is dressed as a kitten and he walks up to Jim and he just goes, "Sweet stoom, dude."
After he meows, he goes,
right. Yeah.
And he kind of rubs up on the back of Jim.
And yeah, we were looking for kitten. But then the way the camera follows Andy's butt walking away from Jim is so funny because they're just trying to convey what's in Jim's eyeline as he picks up the phone. He's like, "Oh, what's up, New York?" Right? And he's talking to Pam.
Yep.
But it's just a really well shot little moment.
Oh,
but
that's so funny.
Andy has a couple like that. "Sweet stoom, dude. Clutch cream run, bro."
Yeah. Clutch cream run, bro.
Back to basics.
Yeah.
It's got some good ones. One thing I want to bring up with just going back to sort of season 2,
mm-hmm.
the first Halloween episode. Yes. They're big. I mean, they called it Halloween. You know?
Right.
Michael having to fire someone. That is one of the best plots, I think, in the first like few seasons of this show, because it's just the last possible thing Michael as a person wants is someone to really hate him. And that's why he spends so much of the episode like asking people, how would they react if I fired you? He wants any way to do it and not be hated by it. And it goes so horribly wrong, and everyone else is having a great time in costume.
Right.
And it's one of the first times in the show that we've seen these characters express themselves with something else. This is early in season two. And Michael trying to navigate it, all while wearing a second head on his shoulder. We talked a little bit about this in the party planning committee episode, I think.
Yeah.
We've probably touched on the Halloween episodes a little bit.
Well, there's an element of the camera following Michael around. I mean, this is season two, and it's pretty early in season two, right?
Yeah.
So naturally, the storyline is very Michael-centric. It's very much about Michael avoiding responsibility, very much about Michael talking to Jan, right?
Mm-hmm.
And kind of putting his own foot in his mouth time after time. And there's something that I noticed where the camera sort of follows Michael. You know, at first he talks to Pam in his own office about having to fire someone, and Pam deflects by being like, your costume is so funny.
Yep.
And I love how he says he had to order it in July from a catalog, which means like they have to take molds, they have to take pictures of him. And the other little detail that I love so much about that papier-mâché head is their ties match. They have the same tie.
That is true. Yeah.
Such a great detail. Mm-hmm. But anyway,
it's a very well-made paper.
Yeah. It's a very well-made papier-mâché head.
Mm-hmm, it's hard
but
to
do. We see Michael go to accounting and say something, you know, hey, I need you guys to find, you know, full employee's salary, 50 grand plus benefits in the numbers, right? And he even makes fun of Oscar, showing your true colors before we know Oscar is gay.
Right, yeah, because he's dressed as a woman.
Right, and I bet you wish you could wear a dress every day. Yeah. What are you implying? Yeah. But right after that, he goes to the kitchen and he's talking to Kelly. And he, again, says something really offensive about how she should be dressed like Bennett, like Beckham, right? Mm-hmm. But it almost follows Michael around in that sort of weird way. And I don't know. I just thought that was really interesting, where it normally bounces around between different characters to kind of tell the story. It follows Michael on one hand being offensive, but on the other hand, not knowing what to do.
Yeah.
And it has a great, it's just like, you have to do this by the end of the day. So there's a ticking clock on Michael that whole episode. And I wonder too, and maybe this is reading too much into it because it's Halloween, but it's almost like every one of the Halloween episodes is all about like confronting some huge fear. I mean, literally in season eight, you have Robert California walking around.
Trying to figure out what everyone's greatest fear is. And then he tells a whole story that just involves all of those elements.
Yeah. Right. And even, you know, and then you get like in season nine, Andy has to, like, Andy's whole identity as part of this a cappella group is questioned when he gets undercut by Broccoli Rob. And he's really struggling with, like, who am I if I'm not this, if I don't have this, if I'm not George Michael doing the solo? Like, this is me. And he doesn't get to do it.
He says that is when I became me. He literally says that. Yeah. And then Aaron at the same time is like, well, do I think it's kind of pathetic to be trying to relive all these college days? Yeah, but, you know, I'm trying to be a supportive girlfriend or something to that effect, right?
I wish so badly, though, that Stephen Colbert could have actually been in that episode and not been like video conferencing the whole time.
Mm-hmm. I love you, Andy.
Oh, it's so serious.
There's a great quote in season seven from Kelly right after Michael dresses up as Daryl, right? And Michael says, as Daryl, hey, it's cool, man. I work in the warehouse. I'm cool. I'm hip and I'm jive and I don't care about nobody. Do you know who I am? Happy Halloween, jerk. Right. Michael, were you really dressing up like someone? When has that ever worked?
Yeah.
Never. Right. But then Kelly cuts in and she says, could you for once just let us enjoy a party instead of making it about all your issues?
Mm-hmm.
What a perfect self-aware moment.
What a salient moment.
To kind of cut through the same sort of repeated cycle we have seen, not just in the Halloween episodes, but in the Christmas episodes as well. Or even like the Valentine's Day episode, right? Where Michael, in the Blood Drive episode in season five, where Michael makes it about him. And the fact that he's single on Valentine's Day or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of these episodes ends up being about Michael, right? You even think of later on in season seven when he puts the Santa hat in the punch bowl.
Yeah.
And he says, and later when I am ruining everything, you're going to wish I was on your side.
Yeah.
But it cuts straight from that Kelly quote to the costume contest. It's a hard cut. And it just kind of, you kind of relax and just kind of have fun with the characters in the office without having to worry about Michael and Daryl as much.
I mean, go ahead.
Really quick note on Michael dressed as Daryl, something I noticed for the first time on this watch through. When he starts talking about it, you can see on his neck there's two black smudge marks.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I think it's implying that Michael was starting and considering to do blackface and then decided not to.
That is, I noticed that too, and I did not think about that.
I think that's like, that why else would he have that on there?
Yeah,
I just think to myself, where did he get the wig?
Right,
right, yeah,
such a bad wig,
and an extra
Daryl
shirt.
Maybe from Dwight, since he has a wig of everybody in the.
Oh yeah, that's true. It looks a lot like Dwight Stanley wig.
Yes. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I was like, I wonder if that wig has ever been used another time.
How different too are the responses from Kelly that in that season two Halloween episode. He's like, you should be bend it like Beckham. And she's like, oh, yeah, because she's Indian. I guess I could do that.
Right.
You know what I mean? Back then, like, people used
really
to just like,
her.
Yeah, right, right.
Not
people
two
used
heads.
To just like, yeah. You know, not tell him off. And then, you know, compare that to that part that you were bringing up where mm-hmm. I think it's a
costume contest. Seven,
costume
yeah.
contest where she tells him off right in front of everybody. So, and I... earlier when we mentioned Oscar in the season two, episode two, I love like this little moment where Oscar is leaving the men's room and Ryan is like, oh, you have your dress is tucked in.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just like, oh, thanks. It's like, it's such a real moment. It's not like kind of this really like cartoonish comedy that we get later on.
It still feels very much like, season one
it's
into
very
sort of
dry.
Original BBC Office moment of
yeah.
just here's something that happened off to the side.
It's a moment that doesn't necessarily develop the plot, which
right.
I think as you progress later on in the series, that's
they try to really pack it in.
Yeah, well, and like, I mean, okay, this is a different show, but you know, Trey Parker writing about or talking about South Park in that documentary, I think it's 6 days to Air.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's talking about how you like write a script and how you can't have. Like, you have something happen in the script, and then it's because of this happens, therefore this happens.
Right.
And you can't have it where something happens and this happens. Like, there has to be this element of causation, right,
mm-hmm.
To drive the plot forward, right?
Mm-hmm.
And early in the season, or early in the show, in The Office, you have a lot of moments that don't really exist for that particular reason. You have moments where the show kind of breathes,
mm-hmm.
right? I'll give you another example. I think it's in the Christmas episode or in one of the birthday episodes, but there's a moment where Angela's trying to throw out a tablecloth and like spread it out, and she just can't get it to work, and she just turns to, I think it's Ryan. She's like, are you going to help me?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's the whole moment, right?
Right.
It doesn't contribute to the plot. It's just
right.
Angela struggling to spread out a tablecloth.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's to your point, it's a moment that doesn't necessarily develop the plot, but it is kind of a funny, unique slice of life moment.
Right.
I have a quick note I found, and this relates to what you're saying as far as just a little moment that doesn't have to do with anything else. I think I said a while ago in the Cafe Disco,
okay.
There's a scene.
One of our all-time favorites.
Yes, the only scene without a cast member in it, where the two warehouse guys from Vance Refrigeration go, hey, there's girls in there. I was wrong, because in Halloween, you get a shot of the guy cleaning up the cobwebs in season two.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Just, I love that cutaway.
Because it technically counts as its own scene. And
right.
There's no cast member. It's just the cleaner.
Yeah.
So that
yeah.
that is the only other one. So maybe there's two.
I love that part.
Because I thought that was the only one, but maybe there's more now. I'm guessing myself. But anyway.
I love the little moments like that where you get to see the cleaning crew. Mm-hmm. There's that one, I want to say it's in St. Patrick's Day in season six. Where the cleaning crew comes in playing their music really loud, and they're like, sorry. They have to back out, yeah.
Also, when they talk to him at the fence.
I was going
to
say, yeah, Oscar, come on. How do you even know they speak Spanish?
Why is Halloween on The Office so much fun? If we can boil it down to one reason.
Costumes.
Yeah.
I mean, look.
When
we were talking about themes, I love the way that the characters get to express themselves via costume. The fact that they get, and when you see it again and again and again, maybe three or four times with these different characters, mm-hmm. we get to see them express themselves very slightly differently
mm-hmm.
the whole way. One thing I was kind of interested in is that Jim is Three Hole Punch Jim in season two. Phyllis is like, oh, that's so clever, right? Or that's great.
Yeah, okay.
But then as the show goes on, his indifference to Halloween is like much less charming.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
By the end, it's like, come on, man, just wear a costume and have some fun.
Well,
like,
I mean, they're spending like, some of them are spending hundreds of dollars on Dwight, their costumes.
When Dwight calls out the Three Hole Punch Jim, and he's like, he spent $129.
Yeah.
On his Sith Lord.
Yeah.
How did he manage to spend $129? It's a plastic lightsaber and a cloak.
His lightsaber was like $45 or something. Yeah.
The white face paint that we see him in.
Yeah.
Gross.
Quiet you.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite.
Some of the best camera moments in the show right there.
Yeah, just perfectly framing him so his whole face is covered like the emperor. Yeah.
Beautiful stuff. One quick little costume thing, too, I found. In season 7, we do get a quick shot of Bob Vance in the background.
Oh, yeah.
As
Dirty Harry.
Is it Dirty Harry?
Oh, what did you think?
I thought he was maybe Jack Nicholson, which calling to...
I found a list
next season, but I think you're right now that you say that. That actually makes more sense.
Yeah, could easily be either one.
Okay, well anyway, it was just whatever. Also, in season 2, the hobo clown worn by Devin when he's fired, worn later by Toby.
That's right. That's true.
Gets reused.
And Meredith in the season 6 thing, she says, "I'm a hobo." Right.
Yeah, that's right. Another costume that gets repeated several times is cats or kittens
like real life.
In season 2, episode 5, Halloween, Pam is a cat, Angela is a cat, and Phyllis is a cat.
Is a cat.
Somebody else is a cat. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think. And then Angela repeats her costume in season 9. She says, to Pam, or in season 8. She says to Pam, she's like, "Can you believe I'm wearing my same costume from before I was pregnant?" And it's literally the same costume. It's a white cat.
It's the same cat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Phyllis was never a cat. Phyllis was a witch. Oh, no. Season 2. She's season a cat. Two, yeah, what yeah, am I cat. Talking about? Yeah. Sorry, I didn't look at that one.
I love in season 8 when
I'm
Andy
striking out today.
Andy is screening the costumes. Andy says, "I've decided to pre-screen all the Halloween costumes this year. I have 3 simple rules. Don't be offensive, don't be cliche, and don't take the first 2 rules too seriously."
And then he still vetoes Kevin's Planet of the Apes costume.
No, well,
the one who sacrifices himself to save the rest.
Whoa, spoiler alert!
Vetoed.
He vetoes Phyllis's costume, but she wears it anyway.
That's right.
Oh, really?
And he also calls out Stanley as the chef from South Park.
And he's like, "Just some chef."
I love recapping these episodes with you. I don't want to like eat it all up, because I want to talk about something next Halloween, too. However, to wrap this up, we have all selected we had our own costume contest ranking the costumes of The Office.
Yes,
and
we did.
We each picked a first, second, and third. And
you also picked your least favorite, right?
I also picked my least favorite, as I often
you
do.
You would.
Like to come in with some negative reviews.
Yeah, just a little bit of something down.
But why don't we go around? Third place.
Oh.
My third place goes to Pam as Rosemary from Rosemary's Baby in Koi Pond. It is a very good costume. She looks just like her.
That's a great.
Such a quick flash. Koi Pond has so many amazing costumes.
I know. I didn't pick any from Koi Pond just because, like, it's just... doesn't get seen enough, but you know what? I can't argue with your choice. It's a great one.
Edwin, your third place costume.
Dwight is a Scranton Strangler.
Yeah, yep. That's a good one.
It's like his greatest enemy, where he's like, "Scranton Strangler, you will be caught." He was caught, not by us, talking about Knights of the
Bank. Yeah, right.
And he's like, "What do you mean? It's better to have your phone clipped on the outside of your belt, then for quick access." Hello, 911, the Scranton Strangler's inside the house. Inside the house.
You mentioned earlier how much like Dwight, it just presents that people like Jim's three-hole punch gym.
Mm-hmm.
What's great is on like Ranker, one of those websites, I was looking at the top costumes, and three-hole punch gym just killed Dwight again in that ranking.
Oh,
people
wow.
voting. So even on the internet, he's winning.
Three-hole punch.
I mean, it's a legendary costume. I mean, totally. People talk about it all the time. Alex.
My third place, I'm going from season 7 costume contests. It's really simple, but it makes me laugh every time I see it, and that's Erin in the monster mask. She has that horrifying face that's like melting off, and it's really a terrifying mask.
Yeah.
And the fact that the most bubbly, least scary person, which I say would be Erin, is wearing it, it just gets me every time, because she's always framed in the background with that big jaw just hanging down.
Yeah, and she's still being kind of like ditzy with it on. Like, she can't figure out how to hang up the phone.
Yeah.
And then she just...
Because she's looking through one
eye.
Like,
yeah, you can't see her face, though, and then she just sits on it.
And her voice is still the same, and I can tell she's smiling under there. It's hilarious.
I love as, like, a counterpoint to that, or, like, to reemphasize the monster mask on Erin. And think about it in Spooked in season 8, when she's trying to make the party more adult, and she has two... sort of roost that she goes to. Number one, she goes to Gabe for the horror
yes.
film. And the moment where Gabe sits back and he's like, aha, where he laughs to himself. Oh, so funny. Uh-huh. Yeah. But Aaron shows
cinema
this.
Cinema of the unsettling.
Yeah, she shows this movie and everyone is like, no. And then she's like, I'm sorry, maybe we need to take this party in a different way. And she's like, this is called Pecker Poker. Game of cards that gets you hard. She can't even yeah. say it. Like, she's choking yeah. out the words. Right? Yeah. They've blurred out all of the cards that she has.
She's yeah.
And everyone is,
She's such a trooper. Also, when she's held under for bobbing for apples for so long.
Yeah. A moment two. I ate two apples.
A moment that made it into the opening credits.
Oh, yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's a good moment. Second place pick.
Second place
Edwin,
pick.
Edwin, start us off.
Nelly is Sexy Toby.
Yeah, that's a great
name. In season 9. I just love that she is the only person who dressed up as somebody else in the office. Like, I think that's such a fun little thing to do. You know?
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Toby's reaction, the way he stares
makes
at her.
So yeah. uncomfortable.
And walks towards her and, oh, man.
There are moments with Toby and Nelly where he really clearly feels like he's in like some old, like where he whips off his glasses really dramatically.
Yeah,
and that's kisses right. her, right?
He's been reading a lot of romance novels.
And then at the end when she shuts him down, he like bashes the bouquet like against the...
Oh, yeah, that's in that episode, in the Halloween episode. Right,
and then
right.
season 9, mm-hmm. yeah.
Alex?
My second place award is going from season 9, Here Comes Trouble, and that is Stanley as Usain Bolt.
Oh, nice.
It's really quick.
I had him I have a list of honorable mentions, yeah. and he is on there.
But yeah. just the image of Stanley there as like an old, fat Usain Bolt is so funny to me.
Yeah, he's the least...
He's just wearing the gold medal
person in the office.
And a Jamaican Olympic yeah. jacket. It's simple. It's funny. I love it.
That's a good one.
It's self-aware. It's great.
My second place was Gabe as Lady Gaga.
And Gabe is dressed like Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
So I told her.
The way that that board catches cool in his throat.
She breaks down like a robot on the runway.
And then at the end of that exchange.
Do you think that I would let this happen again?
Finish it.
Come on.
No way, Jose.
And then he leaves and he goes, F*** you, Gabe.
I will say that that was my first pick, Lady Gaga. I have a different
one.
Oh,
damn.
Case,
all
but,
right. Well, you'll have to...
But why? Why do you like that one?
Oh, I mean, he's... I mean, obviously, Gabe is so odd looking.
He's so square.
He has the funniest body for that costume.
In case you and can't read my poker face.
Yeah, and it's like maybe one of her most outrageous outfits, too. Mm-hmm. So...
Also reminds me of the moment when Dwight and Michael are looking through the window at Gabe and Kevin talking.
Oh, what do you think yes.
they're talking yeah. about? Dwight says, well, probably the extremes of the human physique.
Yeah. He went that's over like a... your head. No, he went behind my back. He went over your head to go behind your back. What is taking someone from behind? Is what Michael says.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Who's your first place winner in the MSPC
All right,
costume
my
contest?
My first place winner in the MSPC costume contest is Oscar Martinez as Sarah Palin in the Koi Pond cold open.
I thought you were going to say Rational Consumer for a sec.
I didn't even know. I was like, who is that?
Mm-hmm. It's good. It's really good.
It's really good.
Yeah.
He's holding an axe. Yes.
You betcha.
You betcha.
I haven't thought about wow.
Yeah.
All right.
I was just so impressed and it just made me laugh. I mean, I will admit, like I went back and watched that scene from Koi Pond and I had never noticed it before.
Yeah.
So
yeah. It's a good one.
Edwin, what about you?
Number one overall pick is Two-Headed Michael. There is
yeah.
no
yes.
that is the one.
That's
you know?
A great yes.
Yeah. Where he talks to him on the shoulder yeah. with Dwight and then he brings it back in the Diwali episode.
Yeah.
So funny. I love that he brings it back and Carol yeah. comes as the cheerleader.
Yeah.
Right? And he says, Michael, you said this was a Halloween party. What does this look like to you? Yeah. That's an Indian woman wearing a sari. Yeah.
I'm not overthinking this for me either. I really like Two-Headed Michael and I have to go with Creed's Joker.
Oh yeah.
Nice.
Not only is it legitimately terrifying.
Let's put a smile on that face.
Like, he inhibits it, the character, well. His hair is perfect for that character.
Damn it, Creed.
Or whatever
wig.
I've
been up since four.
Yeah. And, like Halloween, in real life, multiple people wore that same costume.
Right. Oh, yeah.
He clearly did it the best, although Dwight's is really good, too.
It is a nice joke on the, like, everyone trying to do the topical thing, so sometimes go to a party, you think that you've come up with the most topical thing, and then there's three others like, yeah, there.
Yeah, I just, it's just a fantastic costume.
It has been especially fun this Halloween with the Joker movie out in theaters right now, to see, like, office memes come back with all of them, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've seen a lot of, like,
The Dark Knight Returns.
The best Jokers, and they'll put, like, Kevin in there or something. Those are great.
Honorable mentions?
Dwight with the pumpkin on his head from Here Comes Trouble.
Yeah, that's I can't believe we didn't mention that moment. That's one of the best so cold funny. Opens. You know, like, we don't talk about season 8 and 9 as being very classic, but, like, there are some moments that really hit me hard as far as making me laugh. And one of those is for sure is Dwight with the pumpkin on his
head. Well, I loved, we did get a message from somebody who sent us a photo with that they had done the pumpkin on the head.
Oh, yes.
And I think, Edwin, it was you who responded, like, don't worry, it'll rot off in a...
Yeah, it'll rot off in a couple months.
That's right.
It was my own fault. I never should have scared Aaron. Yeah. The scene, the shots that they have of Dwight in the conference room meeting in the front, raising his hand, sitting alone in the break room, walking across the parking lot in his suit.
With his briefcase. Like,
it's so funny.
I love, too, that it's like Jim is presenting all these ways to get the pumpkin out of his head, which are obviously, like, too extreme. Mm-hmm. And Dwight doesn't think anything of that.
The force, he hits the pumpkin with the baseball bat so hard, and all the warehouse guys clap. And then the way he takes the chef's knife out of the drawer in the kitchen, and the way that he casually flips it in his hand.
Yeah, right?
And just goes at him.
And Dwight's, no. Right?
Kevin as Michael Moore is
awesome. Oh, yeah.
What
are you trying to say with this costume? I'm trying to say that I look like Michael Moore.
Plays into himself. It's great.
I love Kevin as Charlie Brown. I think that's so
also
funny.
Great.
And Kevin as Mr. Incredible.
Oh, yeah.
With the Dunder Mifflin on his...
I wonder if that was a copyright thing. They didn't get a deal with Disney for him to be Mr. Incredible, so they slapped a Dunder Mifflin sticker on his chest.
Aaron as Wendy is just really well executed.
Perfect.
She's the perfect person to do it. It's awesome.
She's on mine.
Yep.
Aaron as Fiona from Shrek in Koi Pond is an outrageously good costume. Another costume that is like, she must have spent hundreds of dollars on that.
Mm-hmm.
Jim and Pam's friend Steve is Asian Jim.
Oh yeah. Not a Halloween costume.
Right.
But Gabe and Kelly and Toby as the skeletons. I love that moment too.
Such a great little dance.
Where Robert California's like, did you plan this? And they're like, well, Toby and Kelly did, and I overheard. What does he say? Do you know?
He's something like, and I overheard and I thought that sounds like fun. I'll get it on.
I had Stanley as Usain Bolt in my honorable mentions. Meredith as Black Widow in Here Comes Trouble. Kate Flannery as a stunning figure. I'll just say that.
She's on Dancing with the Stars right now.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
I love when Dwight hits her with the big net. And she's like, stop bagging my head.
Right? It's really a throwaway line.
Well, she's like, don't dog catch me. Right. Yep. And there's a moment, I think, in season 5 when in the blood drive episode where Michael's like, how do we get all these single people together? And Dwight says, like a big net, like a giant net. He's like, no. And it turns out Dwight has a giant net.
Yes, he does.
That he can use to catch individual people. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I had two least favorite costumes.
Mm-hmm.
One was Nelly as Sexy Toby.
Why don't you like that one? I think that's so funny.
Oh, here we are.
I don't know.
Get out of here.
I don't know. I think maybe I didn't come with enough to back that up.
You don't find Toby sexy. That's okay.
I guess that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And then Pam is Dr. Cinderella.
What
is that? What is that?
She explains it. Cece's really into princesses. So Pam dresses up as one that she can, like, aspire to be.
Oh, yeah. I have missed that every time, even on this rewatch. So
she could have gone as Princess Unicorn. That would have been a different spin on it. Yeah.
My horn can pierce the sky.
Go
ahead. Sorry.
I have two more moments from Halloween episodes that I just want to call out because I love them so much. Number one is when Dwight is sitting on the couch And my Jim is.
I thought I had gotten rid of that one, but I didn't.
Well, Jim is about to leave for his important investors' luncheon or whatever. Mm-hmm. And Dwight is sitting on the couch by reception eating nerds. And he goes, "Hey, Jim, I'm eating you." Mm-hmm. And he just and Jim just says, "Shut up." And he closes the door behind him. And he goes, "Hey, Aaron, I'm eating Jim." And Aaron goes, "Hot!" Like, she laughs so hard. Like,
does
she
gets to, like, pee or something?
Yeah, she leaves a little trail of pee next to Dwight.
Oh, my God.
If you look closely.
Really? Oh, my gosh.
And
oh
she's like, "Stop it, stop it, stop it." And that's when Dwight finds the anti-anxiety pill, right?
Right.
But just the way that Aaron laughs really hard is so out of character for her. Mm-hmm. And I really hope I didn't go too hard into the mic when I made my laugh. But the other moment I have, and this is just a throwaway line, but it's in season 7. It's after Daryl and Michael have that moment where they kind of make up about, you know, having good ideas and going directly to Joe. You know, Daryl's sitting in his office with Andy, and Daryl says, you know, sometimes it feels like things are better down in the warehouse, you know. And Andy says, "When I was a freshman, I worked at the student newspaper, the Cornell Daily Sun." This was at Cornell. "I had to write an op-ed column every day. Bernard's regards." And Daryl says, "This was your freshman year." And Andy said, "I had asked myself, do I have big plans here? I didn't want to become editor of that paper. So I got up and walked right out of Walter Bernard Hall."
Which is like clearly his grandfather. Yeah, right.
And that's when I heard 8 male voices singing "Unencumbered by Instruments." I just love
"Unencumbered by Instruments."
I just love when Andy says, "I had to write an op-ed column every day. Bernard's regards."
Bernard's regards. That is, hey. That's a great trivia team name right there.
Ooh, that is.
That's a really good
one. Also a great Twitter account.
This was your freshman year?
Daryl's so good. Yeah. At just, so good. Like we talked about in Daryl's episode, how much he sets people up for really good jokes. That's a good example.
What do you have under your shirt? It's a ream of paper. I thought you were going to hit me.
That's right. Mick Gruber. Well, let's move on. We have a question from our listeners.
What you got?
Yeah, so this message came from Amy from PA on Facebook. Thank you so much for sending in this message. This is just a quick question that we took from her message, but it's just, what swag do you guys have from The Office, if any? She says, "I bought my husband the Dwight bobblehead doll, the Fun Run t-shirt, and the world's best boss mug. Just curious." So I'll put that to you guys. What Office swag do you have?
I don't have any.
Bro.
Yep.
Want any?
Yes.
I know Edwin can give you some.
Yeah, Christmas is right around the corner.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I would love some.
I got two t-shirts. I have just a basic Dunder Mifflin t-shirt. It's baby blue. It's just, it doesn't fit that well.
It just
I
says
think
Dunder Mifflin.
It just says Dunder Mifflin. You wear it around the house. Mm-hmm. But my other shirt, which I really like, is the Shroot Farms t-shirt, which has a nice big beat on it. It says Shroot Farms. It's a great t-shirt to have because it kind of blends in. You can look at it and not realize what it is, but if you look closely, an Office fan's going to go, "Nice."
Yep.
Shroot Farms.
Those are the money beats.
Those are the money beats. That's the only thing I have. Wait a minute. You have the board game.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's right. Well, technically, Ryan, my fiance, who also runs our...
Your petite fiance.
Mon petite fiance. who runs our social media and does all our graphics. She bought the board game at like Goodwill. She found it. And we have yet to play it, actually. We've used some of the cards for trivia occasionally, but I think that we need to play the game.
Yeah. Didn't mean to interrupt. I just thought
Thank
of that.
Thank you.
Like,
no,
yes,
I
you do.
Totally anyway, forgot about that.
Yeah. How about you, Edward?
Well, don't worry. I have some swag. as you might expect, you know. When I was in high school, and you guys knew me in high school, right? Mm-hmm. I had this Dunder Mifflin like full zip hoodie. It just had Dunder Mifflin like on the pocket kind of hit, and I wore that a lot. Let's see. And I had a World's Best Boss mug for a while in college. I don't know what ever happened to that. Mm-hmm. I have the stack of Post-it notes that says Dunder Mifflin. This is Pam. Mm-hmm. I had a Dwight magnet like to-do list. That I had forever.
I remember seeing that in the fridge.
Yeah,
when
we were roommates. Yeah, yeah.
They're so specific.
Yeah, it had like, it was like tasks, time wasters, you know, things like that. Mm-hmm. I was really sad when I actually ran out of that pad because it had been with me at so many different houses and been on the fridge. I also have a series of little magnets that I bought. Like, some of them just are, you know, pictures of Michael and they say The Office. There's a couple others that are like scenes from the fight, you know?
Oh, nice.
It's like Jim and, or not Jim.
Yeah, yeah.
Michael
when
and
they're
Dwight
in their karate
fighting.
Gear.
Yeah, exactly. I'm trying to think. I have like a bumper sticker. I'm trying to think if I have anything else. That might be it.
Honestly, all your DVDs alone.
Oh, yeah, they got the DVDs.
Are really a collector.
Yeah, I used to get them every year as they would come out on DVD. Mm. Yeah.
What an age.
What a time to be alive.
If you got, if you out there have anything interesting, I know there's a lot of shirts and stuff like that, but I'm sure that there's weird little things that NBC would drop or like, you know, I don't know if there was ever like a Happy Meal toy or anything like that. I'd love to know what sorts of weird things are out there.
I would love all set of Office characters in Halloween costume. That'd be a great set of little figurines. Awesome.
I mean, they recently came out with the pop figures for The Office. I would love to someday get the mugs with the faces and the stars, you know?
Oh, yeah.
That
would
be great.
Sure.
Yeah. What Office swag do you want that you don't have?
I mean, a hoodie would be nice. Something like that. Something...
Yeah, I'd like some like actual office supplies. Mm-hmm. Like I'd like something I could use, some pens, maybe a stapler. As far as clothing goes, I'd like a good hat. Mm-hmm. I don't have a good office hat. I mean, oh, you know, what'd be fun would be the pink ones that Andy hands out.
Oh, DM does GB.
DM does GB.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
That's a hat I'd like. Yeah.
So when I think about office swag, I kind of wish, I love the things that I have, but I kind of wish I had something that was a little more permanent. Things about clothes are great, but they wear out, you know? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I kind of wish I had a Dwight bobblehead or something like that you can put on a shelf and just kind of
I would love, you know what? Yeah. Actually, I just realized I would love a Dundee.
Oh, yeah.
That would be great. Mm-hmm. I would like to have a Dundee.
Guy holding the briefcase.
Yeah. Spicy curry.
Yeah.
Fine work award. Don't go in there after me.
Yeah, that's the one I want.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Bushiest beaver.
The guy just squatting.
Yeah.
Yep.
Let's take
it's
it to trivia.
Some trivia.
Let's just do our thing, collect our hardware, and get the hell home.
All right, gentlemen. It's time for some trivia. Now, on the show, we usually, if we're doing episodes, we're going to do trivia from those episodes.
Mm-hmm.
I know you just recently watched the Halloween episodes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
so...
Mm-hmm.
I'm not doing trivia about that. I'm doing trivia about regular old Halloween, the holiday.
Oh.
We're going outside of the office for this one because it's Halloween, you know?
Oh, okay.
Let's have some fun. Ready?
Nice.
I have 13. That's right, 13 questions about Halloween.
So that's a spooky number.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Number one, the first jack-o'-lanterns were made out of what? Coconuts, pumpkins, turnips, or watermelons? Now, I want you guys to come to an answer together. You two have to come up, agree on one of those answers.
Turnips doesn't seem right.
No.
Again, it's coconuts, pumpkins, turnips,
coconuts seems...
It's too small, though.
Yeah, and it'd be hard to carve.
Yeah.
Watermelon
would
be
I think it's either
easy.
Watermelon or pumpkins. It's either one of those two. I think it's pumpkins.
It is Halloween. There are trick-or-treats in here.
I'm going to go with... Yeah, all right.
All right, pumpkins.
Eh. The first jack-o'-lanterns were made in Ireland out of hollowed-out turnips.
Okay.
Whoa.
A piece of coal was inserted into the hollow, and the lantern, by lighting the coal, was meant to guide the way of poor old Jack, who wasn't welcome in heaven, but was also barred from entering hell for tricking the devil. Anyway, so turnips it was.
The Antichrist.
Jack. Yes. Oh.
When the Irish brought this tradition to America, they apparently decided that pumpkins were way easier to carve than turnips.
Yeah. I bet.
Number two, in what century did the practice of trick-or-treating begin? In the 1900s, in the 1400s, in the 1800s, or in the 1600s?
I think it's the 1800s. I don't know.
I like that.
Let's go with it. 1800s.
I don't think they did fun things before the 1800s.
In North America, trick-or-treating began to develop as a Halloween tradition during the 1920s, but the European tradition of going house to house collecting food goes back to at least as far as the 16th. Century.
Dang.
Britain and Ireland, there were many accounts of people going house to house in costume on Halloween, reciting verses in exchange for food. I'm wondering if this is because the season is around harvest time, so maybe there's extra food at this time.
Oh, okay.
And so people
sure.
actually would go around begging for food, which then became a tradition.
And then it was like,
now
what are you
going to
give me?
Yeah, now give me some Snickers.
Trick or treat.
Right. Mm-hmm. Number three, which of the following is not a term for a scarecrow? A gallybagger, a doodle sack, a tatty bogle, or a booback?
Wait a minute. Give them to me again.
A gallybagger, a doodle sack, a tatty bogle, or a booback?
Tatty bogle sounds...
Yeah, I'm with it. Let's go.
Tatty bogle.
There are a wide range of alternative names for scarecrows, including Hodmedod, Mermit, Hayman, Gallybagger, Tatty Bogle, Mommet, Mockin, and Boobock. But doodle sack is an English word for bagpipes.
Oh.
From base to point, what is the order of colors on a standard piece of candy corn?
From base to point?
It goes yellow, orange, white.
Ding, nice. Yellow, orange, white is the progression really of standard candy corn.
Yeah, I just realized how weird that is.
Yeah, nice.
It really should be orange, yellow, white.
No. Which of these Halloween films was not directed by Tim Burton? Beetlejuice, The Nightmare Before Christmas, Frankenweenie, or The Corpse Bride?
Frankenweenie.
No, I don't think that Nightmare Before Christmas is Tim Burton.
Oh, is it produced by?
I mean, all those other movies are Tim Burton, for sure.
The Nightmare Before Christmas was produced and conceived by Tim Burton, but directed by Henry Selick.
Nice.
Who also directed Coraline, James and the Giant Peach.
Ah, sure.
Stop motion is his thing.
Great movies.
How many colors of M&Ms are there in a normal bag? 5, 6, 7, or 8?
Brown, red, green.
Blue.
Yellow.
Orange. 6.
Nailed it. Well done. What was the most popular Halloween costume in 2004? Was it a witch, Spider-Man, George W. Bush, or Napoleon Dynamite?
Spider-Man sounds...
I don't know if Spider-Man's right.
Napoleon Dynamite can't possibly be.
It might be George Bush.
Does it count if you just put on the latex mask?
It does.
Yeah.
According to the National Retail Federation's Halloween Consumer Intentions and Actions Survey, the most popular Halloween costume in 2004 was Spider-Man. How many witches were burned at the stake in the Salem witch trials? 0, 12, 20, or 33?
Oh, I thought it was more than 33.
The 25 or whatever.
12?
What's that middle number?
20 or 12. The answer is 0. None of the witches put to death at the Salem witch trial.
You tricked us.
Were burned at the stake. All were executed by hanging, but one, who was pressed to death.
Oh,
what a brutal time.
They really didn't need to come up with different ways. They could have just picked a one way.
I know. What phobia do you suffer from if you have an intense fear of Halloween? Phasmophobia, Wiccophobia, Halloweenophobia, or Samhainophobia? Phasmophobia, Wiccophobia, Halloweenophobia, or Samhainophobia?
I feel like it has to be Halloweenophobia.
I like Halloweenophobia.
It's a good guess, but it is Samhainophobia, which refers to Samhain, which is the ancient Celtic festival off which Halloween is based. Okay. The North American Halloween, of course.
It's, right. Yeah. Well, that's actually the holiday that I recognize. Mm-hmm. I can't believe I didn't get that.
What monster is pictured on the flag of Sicily? Is it a sphinx, a minotaur, a medusa, or a vampire?
It's a lion thing, I'm pretty sure.
That's a sphinx.
So, sphinx.
It's not. It's a medusa. It's surrounded by three bent running legs and three stalks of wheat. It is the weirdest flag. look up the flag of Sicily. It's bizarre.
Okay.
Who of the following died on Halloween night? Harry Houdini, H.P. Lovecraft, Bram Stoker, or Mary Shelley?
Lovecraft.
Yeah.
You know, it was Harry Houdini. One of the most famous musicians who ever lived, died in 1926.
Magicians.
What did I say?
Musicians.
Musicians. Well,
one of the most famous mathematicians.
He was an incredible bassist. Yeah.
Why is Jim treating the magician poorly?
Thank you, God.
He died from appendicitis. He was, because a week earlier, he invited some students from a college to visit him backstage before a show. And one of the students was like, is it true that you can withstand any hit to the abdomen?
Yeah.
He was like, yes. And the guy just hit him like 5 times without bracing.
Yeah.
Three-hole punch.
Yeah, because he needs to flex first.
Yeah. And then he his appendix burst.
That's messed up.
Died a week later.
That's sad.
I know. What could have been? He had a real career ahead of him. What is Dr. Frankenstein's first name? Is it Abraham, Igor, William, Victor, or Toby?
Victor.
It is Victor. Very good. And finally, what dictator?
Toby Frankenstein.
Which dictator was sworn into power on Halloween night? Was it Benito Mussolini, Mao Zedong, Adolf Hitler, or Joseph Stalin?
I'm going to go with Mao.
Mao Mussolini. Edwin gets it. It's Mussolini, who became the youngest prime minister in Italy on October 31st, 1922.
Blood alone moves the wheels of history.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
Oh, guys, thank you so much for listening. Please know that you can hit us up with questions and comments. We have email, mspodcastcompany@gmail.com.
Pictures
we
of Halloween costumes.
Yes, we would love to see what you wore for Halloween this year. We would love to post it on our Instagram story. We're on Instagram and Facebook, Michael Scott Podcast Company. We're on Twitter at Michael Scott Pod. We have a website, michaelscottpod.com. And we have a phone number, 503-694-9314. Call us and leave us a message. We love to play them on the show. Special thanks to Ryan Lloyd, who runs our social media and designs all our artwork, and to Open Signal Community Media Center in Portland, where we record our show usually, although we are back in the OG studio in Alex's kitchen tonight, which is really nice.
Thanks, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Three of us kitchen up about the office.
Thank you guys so much. We'll see you next week.
Pippity-poppity, give this up.
Yes, sir.
No, do not sing that. Do not.
He reminded us today of how much he means to us. And we certainly seem to mean a lot to him. So without any further ado, here's an old treble classic.
Ding, 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 ding.
Well, I guess it would be nice if I could touch your body. I know not everybody got a body like you.
Whoa! Wait. Don't skip ahead just yet. I know you were about to. Chances are, if you're listening to this podcast, then you'll love mine too. If you like podcasts that break down all of your favorite water cooler reality TV shows like The Real Housewives or big budget movies like Wakanda Forever, then this is the podcast for you. Subscribe to my podcast, Reality and Comics 2, and listen to episodes like my interview with Robin Dixon of The Real Housewives of Potomac or my interviews with your favorite bombshells from Love Island USA. That's Reality and Comics 2. And I'm Kendrick. See you there.